Do you understand the purpose of human existence as we enter the new millennium? World News and Prophecy presents an analysis of world affairs and the answers to the great questions of life in light of the Word of God. This program will help you unlock the true meaning behind the events in the Middle East, the global economy, politics, and religion. And now, for World News and Prophecy, Dr. Donald Ward.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to today's program. What would you say is the most recognizable name on the face of the earth? I don't know of any study or survey that has been done to identify the most recognizable name on earth, but I believe that name is Jesus. Jesus, the Christ, the Son of God, is surely recognized throughout the Western world, and for that matter, in much of the rest of the world. Bibles have been translated into practically every language, distributed to virtually every country on earth. What do you think of when you hear the name Jesus? The literal meaning of the name Jesus as Yeshua is salvation, or Yahweh is salvation, however you want to pronounce it. The Bible states in Acts 4:12, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." So is Jesus the only name given under heaven whereby men must be saved, as the Bible says? Or are the religious people of the day correct in saying that there are many avenues to salvation? There are even theologians and ministers who claim to be Christians who do not really believe that Jesus is the only name given among men whereby men must be saved. Even one major denomination that claims to be Christian has embraced a pluralistic view of salvation. What is a pluralistic view of salvation? In the religious usage of the word pluralism, it means that there are several avenues or ways to salvation. The doctrine of pluralism states that Jesus has manifested himself in different forms to different cultures. To the people of the Far East, he's manifested himself as Buddha. To the people of India, he has manifested himself as Krishna. To the people of the Near East, as Mohammed. And the Jews are still looking for the Messiah to appear, but the Jews are not looking for the Son of God to appear and die for the sins of the world. They're looking for a mere human with great charismatic appeal who will restore them to the geopolitical prominence they enjoyed under King David and King Solomon. Sadly, even many of the people who preach the name of Jesus don't really understand why God sent Jesus to the earth. To really understand why Jesus came to the earth, one must understand who God is, what God is, and what is his purpose. And the corollary to why God sent Jesus to the earth is to understand who man is, what man is, and what is his purpose. Why were you born? The first man was created from the dust of the earth. He was created mortal, subject to sin and death. As it clearly says in Genesis 2:7, that God breathed into the nostrils of Adam and he became a living soul. The Hebrew word for soul is nephesh. It is used for human and animal life. It has nothing to do with immortality. Soul merely means a living being or life potential. You have the potential of receiving the very essence of God, the divine nature, through repentance and faith in Christ for the remission of sins. And when people tell you or someone tells you that you don't have an immortal soul, most people will immediately tune out because they have believed the traditions of the elders. They have believed the traditions of the religious people of the day. They have not opened the pages of the Bible to really see for themselves what it says. Ezekiel 18:4 and Ezekiel 18:20 says, "The soul that sins, it shall die." The Apostle Paul writes in Romans 6:23 that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And the only way that you're going to receive eternal life is through Jesus Christ. You know, you're not going to burn forever and ever in hell fire if you don't accept him as your Savior, but you are going to burn up in Gehenna fire and you will be destroyed. You have the potential, on the other hand, of having the very essence of God come into you, the very divine nature, through repentance and faith in Christ for the remission of sins. God is our Creator, our Father. God is Spirit, and His purpose is to bring sons and daughters into His family, a family of spirit beings. God the Father sent Jesus Christ to the earth to redeem humans from sin and death and to reconcile them to God the Father. God the Father and the resurrected Christ are holy, pure, and undefiled with sin. But humans are mortal and subject to sin. The Apostle Paul writes in Romans 8:7, "Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God," showing that the law of God, of course, is in effect, "neither indeed can be. The wages of sin is death, not eternal torment in hell fire. But make no mistake about it, there is a real hell fire, as we've already said, unless you repent and exercise faith in the sacrifice of Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, you will be cast into hell fire and burned up. Note what Jesus states in Matthew 10:28. "Fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul." That is life potential. The life potential. You may die, but on the other hand, God is the only one who has the prerogative of resurrecting you. There are millions, yea, even billions, who have died who have never even heard the name of Jesus Christ. The time is coming in which all they in their graves are going to be resurrected, some to eternal life and some to judgment, and have their one and only chance for salvation. You can read this clearly in John chapter 5, beginning about verse 18, and read to the end of the chapter if you really want to come to clearer understanding about the resurrection. So Jesus says, "Fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in Gehenna fire," in hell fire. The Apostle John clearly describes the time in which the incorrigibly wicked will be cast in the lake of fire in Revelation chapter 20, verses 13 through 15. "And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them." In this case, the word hell is the Greek word Hades, which means the grave. "Death and the grave delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to his works. And death and the grave were cast into the lake of fire." This is the second death. "And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire." This is the second death. From this, there is no resurrection. And this is what Jesus was referring to in Matthew 10:28. "Fear not him who is able to only kill the body, but fear him who is able to kill both body and soul in Gehenna fire." Soul meaning life potential. Once this is done, there will be no resurrection. The Apostle Paul writes, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." That's Romans 6, verse 23. It is only through your repentance and faith in Christ that you can receive the gift of eternal life. The way to eternal life is not pluralistic. That is, there are not several ways to salvation. There is only one way to salvation, and that is through Jesus Christ. You cannot have your sins remitted through faith in Buddha, Krishna, or Mohammed. You cannot have your sins remitted through yoga or any other form of meditation. The name, only name given under heaven whereby men must be saved, is Jesus. The name of Jesus has been preached throughout the earth. As we mentioned in the first few minutes of the program, the name Jesus is perhaps the most widely recognized name on the face of the earth. As you drive along the roadways of the United States, you may occasionally see a church called the Full Gospel Church, the implication being that some churches only preach part of the gospel, but this church preaches the full gospel. Yet I wonder if that church really understands the full gospel. Do we understand that humans are mortal and subject to sin and death, and that apart from repentance and faith in Christ, you're going to experience the second death in Gehenna fire? Do they understand that just believing on the name of Jesus will not save you from your sins? Satan, the devil, and the demons believe that God and Christ exist. Let's notice carefully the encounter that Jesus had with the demons as recorded in Matthew's Gospel, beginning in Matthew 8:28. And when he was come to the other side in the country of the Gergesenes, there met him two possessed with devils coming out of the tombs, exceeding fierce, so that no man might pass that way. They were guarding the road, wouldn't let anyone through. And behold, they cried out, saying, "What have we to do with you, Jesus, you Son of God? Are you come here to torment us before the time?" Satan and the demons know their fate. They know that they are going to be rendered of non-effect. And there was a good way off from them, and heard of many hogs feeding. So the devils besought him, saying, "If you cast us out, let us go away into the herd of the swine." And he said unto them, "Go." And when they were come out, they went into the herd of hogs, and behold, the whole herd of hogs ran violently down a steep place into the sea and perished in the waters. Of course, that didn't destroy the demons, but at least it expunged them from that immediate area at that moment. And behold, the whole city came out to meet Jesus. And when they saw him, they besought him that he would leave out of their coast. You see, the demons had recognized him and said, "What have we to do with you, Jesus? Are you come here to torment us before the time?" And they that kept them fled, that is, those that kept the hogs fled and went into the city and told everything and what was befallen to the possessed of the devils. And behold, the whole city came out to meet Jesus, and when they saw him, they wanted him, they just besought him that he would depart out of the coast. Amazing. The people wanted the one who had power over the demons to get out of town. Today, people want Jesus to get out of town, to get out of their lives, and let them alone. They want to pull down the shades and close their eyes to the only source that will save them. As others flee from the name of Jesus, there are others who call on the name and call him Lord, thinking that taking his name will save them. When we come back for the next segment of our program, we will see that you must do far more than just call on the name of Jesus to be saved. There is much confusion and religious deception in the world today. You need to come to really understand what the Bible really teaches. You can enroll in our free Bible study course that will take you from Genesis through Revelation in 12 beautifully designed lessons that will help you understand the plan and purpose of God, why you were born, why you draw breath, and what your great destiny is if you will believe truly in Jesus Christ. And to truly believe in him means not only to take upon his name, but at the same time to actually have faith in what he says and do what he says. You can enroll in this free Bible study course by calling our toll-free number. That toll-free number is 1-888-886-5614. Once again, that toll-free number is 1-888-886-5614. And now back to world news and prophecy. In the first segment of our program, we have seen that Jesus is perhaps the most recognized name on the face of the earth. We've seen clearly from Acts 4:12 that the name Jesus is the only name given under heaven whereby men must be saved. But yet we have religious people today who say that there are many avenues to salvation. And when people go on the radio and some of the evangelicals and they're interviewed by the various talk show hosts, they ask the question, "Well, are you saying that the Jews are going to hell if they don't believe in Jesus?" Anyone who does not come to understand who God is, what man is, and what is his purpose, they are going to go into Gehenna fire unless they come to recognize that they are sinners and that the only way that their sins can be remitted is through faith in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Because Jesus Christ came to save us out of our sins, not in our sins, and he had to come and redeem us because the wages of sin is death. It is not eternal life in some kind of Gehenna fire or any other place of suffering, torture, and torment. It is eternal death. You will become ashes, as it says in Malachi chapter 4, in the first three or four verses. You will become ashes under the feet of the righteous unless you repent of your sins and exercise faith in Jesus Christ and begin to surrender, submit, and obey him. Jesus addressed these people who just call upon his name and think that they can just call upon his name in Luke 6:46, where he says, "And why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" This is amplified in Matthew 7:21, where Jesus says, "Not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father who is in heaven." He goes on to say, "Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, and in your name have cast out devils, and in your name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity." The word iniquity means lawlessness. And many people think that the law of God is done away with, that Jesus Christ came and kept the law and, quote, fulfilled the law. And thus they just believe Jesus did it and it's imputed to them. That is not what the Bible teaches at all. Jesus Christ said, "Think not that I am come to destroy the law, but to fulfill it." He goes on to say that those who would teach that the law has been done away with will go into Gehenna fire. Jesus goes on to say, "Depart from me, you that work iniquity. Therefore, whosoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon the rock." The name of Jesus has been made weak and cheap by a lot of religious folks. They have done this by presenting an only believe in his name gospel. This notion that all one has to do to be saved is confess the name of Jesus apparently comes from a misunderstanding of Romans 10:13. In Romans 10:13, the Apostle Paul writes, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And if a person reads only that one verse out of context, and they don't really understand who God is, what is his purpose, who is man, what is his purpose, they might get the notion that salvation is cheap. Just call upon the name of Jesus and you'll be saved. But one of the rules of sound biblical exegesis and understanding is that the context must be considered. Moreover, according to John 10:35, the scriptures cannot be broken. In other words, the Bible does not contradict itself. We've just noted above that there will be those who profess the name of Jesus and did many wonderful works, but they were cast in the lake of fire. So it is clear that calling on the name of Jesus means to believe and do everything that he taught. Because Jesus says in Matthew chapter 7, those verses we read there, "But he that does the will of the Father." And another place he says, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say?" The Apostle Paul continues here in Romans 10:14. "How then shall they call upon him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent, as it is written, How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things." Yes, there are glad tidings of good things in the true gospel, the good news of the coming kingdom of God. But in order to be in that kingdom, you must repent of your sins and receive God's Holy Spirit to bridge that gap between mortality and immortality. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, Paul writes, for Isaiah said, Lord, who has believed our report? So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily, their sound went into all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the world. Have you obeyed the gospel? To obey the gospel not only has to do with believing in the name of Jesus, but doing what he says, as it says over and over in the gospels. As we've already seen, Satan, the devil, and the demons knew that Jesus exists. They recognized him here on the earth and asked, you, Jesus, what have we to do with you? Have you come to torment us before the time? They know that Jesus came to earth and died on the stake for the sins of humanity and was resurrected from the dead by God the Father, and now sits at the right hand of the Father, making intercessions for us. The name of Jesus carries great weight and authority, but just believing on the name of Jesus will not save you from your sins. You must repent of your sins. You must ask, really, what is sin? Theologians, ministers, and the man on the street may give many different definitions for sin, but what is the Bible definition of sin? The Bible definition is clearly stated by the Apostle John in 1 John 3:4. Whosoever commits sin transgresses also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. And on the other hand, love centers on obeying the full gospel and doing what Christ commands. Note what the apostle of love writes, for this is the love of God, that we should keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. So on the one hand, the apostle John in 1 John 3:4 defines what sin is. Sin is a transgression of the law. Then in 1 John 5:3 he defines what love is. For this is the love of God, that we should keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. It is clear from the scripture that one must do more than call on the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus is not cheap, and it is not weak. It is the only name given under heaven whereby men must be saved. It is unfortunate that even religious folks tend to make Jesus into some kind of commodity, sort of like a genie in their hip pocket that they bring out whenever they need help. Something that they possess is some sort of mystical power that does everything for them. The world is on a collision course between the forces of good and evil. You read about it every day in your newspaper, and you see it live and in color on your television sets. The battle of the ages between God and Christ and Satan and the demons is rushing toward a grand crescendo. Satan uses every deception ever conceived to deceive humans and cause them to think that the name of Jesus is cheap and weak. And now people really don't even pay the kind of respect to the name of Jesus that they should, because it is plastered in so many different places and so many different ways and contexts that people don't really even honor and understand what that name is all about. But Satan also has more deceptions that he is going to spring on humankind in the near future. He will eventually deceive everyone whose names are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life to worship him. At this critical juncture in human history, the spirit of Antichrist shall come to its fullness. We're admonished in 1 John chapter 4 to try the spirits to see whether they be of God. The Apostle John writes there in 1 John chapter 4 in the first few verses there that greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. Jesus Christ told the apostles before he was betrayed and crucified to be of good cheer, that he has overcome the world. Yes, you can have the power, the strength to overcome Satan and the demons through Jesus Christ and through his spirit and through his word. Jesus Christ stated in John 6:63, the words I speak, they are spirit and they are life. If you want power, if you want life, then you need to open the pages of your Bible. I do not know why people are caught up in some kind of tradition whether or not this man said it or that man said it. What I'm asking you to do, what I'm challenging you to do, is open the pages of your Bible for yourself and see whether or not what I'm saying is true. The Bible makes it very clear who God is, what God is, and what is His purpose. The purpose of God is to bring sons and daughters to glory in the family of God. David, the psalmist, in Psalm 8, asked this great question: "When I consider the heavens and the work of your hands, what is man that you should be mindful of him?" The Apostle Paul takes that up in Hebrews chapter 2, and he quotes David and goes on to show that the purpose for human beings is to be made one with God in Christ in the family of God. You can be a son and daughter of God and rule and reign with God in Christ in the wonderful world tomorrow. But Satan's greatest deception lies just ahead. What is the spirit of Antichrist and how can you recognize it? Read 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. You'll begin to understand the great deception that lies ahead for every person on earth that does not love the truth, because Satan is going to feign the return of Jesus Christ. There's going to be one who sits in the temple of God saying that he is God, and he will deceive the whole world. In Revelation 13:8, it says that everyone whose names were not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, slain from the foundation of the world, will be deceived. Christ states in Matthew chapter 24 and verse 22, "Except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened." Are you one of the elect? Do you love the truth? Or will you be one of the ones who will be deceived by Satan's deceptions? And do you really understand who Jesus is, the only name given under heaven whereby men must be saved? Be sure to be tuned to this same station next week for World News and Prophecy. And be sure to write for or call for our free literature. This week we're offering our free Bible study course. This beautifully designed Bible study course will take you from Genesis through Revelation, where you'll come to understand the plan and purpose of God and why you were born. All you have to do to receive the free literature is to call our toll-free number. That toll-free number is 1-888-886-5614. Once again, that toll-free number is 1-888-886-5614. And be sure to be listening to World News and Prophecy next week at this same time. You have been listening to World News and Prophecy. For the free literature offered on the program, call our toll-free number. That toll-free number is 1-888-886-5614. Once again, 1-888-886-5614.